Do you know what One Take Jake is?
No.
One Take Jake is when you record an episode of media in one take with no editing, no errors.
Has it been a long week? Do you need a break?
Are you stressed? Stuck in your job? Maybe you need an escape.
I'm Beth Dybel.
I'm Tatiana Abaro.
And I'm Ezekiel Kajakai. And this
is Escape Break,
where we discuss all things escape rooms in Southern California.
The good.
The bad.
The funny.
And don't forget the awkward.
Trust me, I wish I could.
This show is just on the horizon. Get ready to sit back, relax, stop working, and take a break with us.
Let's get started. Welcome in to another riveting episode of Escape Break. Today, on the other side of the microphone, I have my wonderful co-host, Tatiana Abaro.
Hello, hello.
And today, we're back in the fray playing escape rooms. Passed 300. Tati's on the road there. These next two episodes, this one and the following one, will be just about the rooms. I had the pleasure of playing some rooms with Tati recently, played some rooms with Beth as well on the following episode, and you're going to hear some bits and pieces about them. As always, when we talk about rooms, we're not here to spoil anything. We're here to just give you our honest opinions and general recommendations of why you might like this room. So if you've played the room or you haven't played the room, it's still a great episode to listen to. But before we get there, Tati,
Yes? Slowly
approaching 300.
Oh, yeah.
300 for you will be achieved on December 28th, 2023. Yep. At 2:30 Pacific time.
Oh my goodness.
How are you feeling of the slow progression to this milestone?
I am very excited. This has taken a lot of curating because, as you know, I have a big wish list on what I want to do, especially when I'm in SoCal. Mm-hmm. And as everybody knows, I wanted Hope End to be my 300. So it was a lot of finessing of what rooms to play, which ones were open when, and when can I meet with certain people on certain days. So it's finally all booked. It's ready to go. And I'm stoked. And the only thing that hurts my little heart is when people are saying, I want to play a room with you. I'm sorry. I really want to, but not right now, not in the month of December. Because I really lined this up for a reason.
Yeah, I remember this feeling when I approached my 100th room, having to say no to people because it was so important to me to get that 100th room as a specific timeline in a specific milestone room. As I've approached the next set of hundreds, 200 and 300, it didn't matter much to me. But I still feel the same. Like, you have to tell some people no. There also comes the general promises that I've made to you or my girlfriend or to Beth or to Ron saying, yes, I'll play this room with you. And so we become more elusive. It's very flattering when people want to play with us. So I'm sure you don't mean any harm when you say no.
I don't mean any harm. I will say, though, it was interesting, and I don't know if it's because I've been playing rooms for such a long time, but for 100, I didn't even think about it as a milestone. And it wasn't until it started becoming more popular that I looked back and I was like, what was my 100th room? And it was a Minecraft room. So I was like, okay, that works for me. And then for 200, you know, we did work it out.
Yeah.
So that it was a solid room. And I feel like as my hundreds progress, I put more emphasis and importance in them.
That's really cool. I'm excited for you. Wanted to give a shout out to the Ministry of Peculiarities for helping us arrange this. Perhaps some surprises in store, but that's all I'll say.
Hopefully nothing that hurts my little heart, like I mentioned earlier. I can only take so many surprises.
No, I believe the true scares will be coming later in the evening. So that whole day, we have quite a day planned. Very pleasing to an enthusiast's ears. We're going to be playing Trapped, Trials of Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
We will then play Hope End at the Ministry of Peculiarities. And then, thanks to Armin, the owner of Maze Rooms, we're going to be playing What Happened to the Garretts, Tombstone, and There's Something Out There in the Deep of the Night. I think it's a 10:30 p.m.
It's like 10:30. I'm nervous about that one, Kai.
To set the mood. Got to speak to him. He's actually the owner of Maze Rooms Culver City as well, which hosts three really spectacular games as I've played before. But I'm excited for these new ones because I've heard good things, especially about the Garretts from people. Mm-hmm. And getting to get a bunch of rooms done in LA efficiently is music to my ears.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it. We played recently Brain Games. And I had played the Showstopper at Brain Games. We'll get to that last. We started out with a longtime game that you may have heard about when it was in LA, before Brain Games was a thing, called The Laboratory. Tati, as a puzzle lover and a puzzle fanatic, how would you best describe the gameplay and what to expect when you enter Brain Games The Laboratory?
You are just bombarded with all the puzzles, and there are just locks everywhere. And I could see it being a little bit overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have a smaller group.
Right.
But I think it was smart for them to lay out the path. And I guess we'll just go into it, if you don't mind.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the board, they clearly show you what starts a certain path, and it tells you all the way to the end what opens what. And it's smart because there are so many things in that room. It would become frustrating if you did not know where the next step was. So yes. I think that's a really good thing that they did. I don't know if they did this in the beginning when they first opened, but if this was something that they got feedback on and then added this as an element in the room, big props.
I could imagine it as a game prior to this kind of legend map board that you start out with, even just being entirely chaotic and people failing. Now,
yeah.
The third head of our escape break, Hydra Beth, has played this room and she loves it. It is a puzzle lover's dream. Multiple linear paths that converge into one. That's no surprise. And as Tati's mentioning, as soon as you get into the room, you know exactly what the puzzles are. It's just a matter of following the steps. So we had five people that were all experienced, all over 200 or approaching 200 rooms or more. And we simply picked a path and converged and occasionally crossed over to help each other. But it was super cool. It's not a game, if I'm being honest, depending on what you like, it's not a game where you're going to be in love with the set or have a special effects moment that wows you, a secret door is going to open or anything like that. But if you're missing the games that challenge you and give you enough to do, this is a great game to play. And we appreciated it from that standpoint because, you know, we've had episodes about it. Where have the puzzles gone? Well, they're all in the laboratory.
They're all in the laboratory. They took them all and said, here you go.
Yeah. You know, as uncompetitive as I am, I felt in a world of professionals when this game started. We all took a path. And in the background, while I won't mention what's involved in any of the puzzle paths, I kept hearing, oh, I solved my first puzzle. I solved my first puzzle. I'm almost done with the second puzzle. I'm almost done. And I was still on my first puzzle. So there was part of me that was like, am I not good enough? Are these people better than me? And then I realized, no, we're all on the same team, to each their own. I made a joke that I took the hardest puzzle path. Whether that's true or not is up to you guys. But it was really cool how it all came together at the end, because generally we all needed to pitch in on some final puzzles and put our input down. And then Trevor, our game master, allowed us to debrief the room puzzle by puzzle.
Yep.
So no one missed out on what happened along the way.
Yeah, I understand what you were talking about. In real life, I love structure. I love organization. Mm-hmm. I like planning.
Yeah.
But in escape rooms, I usually take the back seat.
Yeah.
I like to observe everything. If people are solving most of the puzzles, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
So I was chilling, going from puzzle to puzzle on my little pathway. And then occasionally someone would be like, Ati, I need help. So I'd stop. And then I'd go to help. And then I'd go back to my puzzle. And then, Tati, I need an extra hand. Okay. So I'm pretty sure I was the last one to finish my pathway. But I got to see so much of the room just by helping other people. And I think I enjoyed that a little bit more. And even on like my fourth puzzle, I needed help. Because I can't figure this out. And it took us a while to figure it out. But we did it. And that room is challenging. Yeah. I made a comment that if you have three people, even if you're experienced, you're going to be running around. You're going to be sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is not a spoiler, but my pathway had the wax hook.
From Escape Room
Day. Yes. So yeah, from Escape Room Day. And when I realized I had it, I asked all of you guys, are any of you passionate that really, really want to do this? So I got to partake in that again.
Awesome. I actually got sweaty in the room. There was something I had to do that was quite vigorous, and I tried to do it all in one bout. I almost tapped out, but hopefully you'll know what it is when you play. I do recommend the room with the note of caution of you're going to get into a puzzle frenzy. And if you love escape rooms like we do, the general tendencies that relate to myself, Beth, and Tati, I believe you'll love this room as well.
I have a question, Kai.
I hopefully have an answer.
There are six pathways that you can take in that room. If it's a smaller group and they want something that's not as difficult, do you know if they shorten it to have less pathways?
I do know that.
And oh, okay.
The game itself is modifiable to where they can put all six pathways like they did for us, or they can shorten it. Now, I'm not sure what the minimum pathways are, but I do know that the maximum pathways are six. And I've also heard that should you be rocking and rolling in the easier difficulty, that something may happen where all of a sudden a new path opens up. And it's so a little bit of an adaptable game in that sense.
Okay. I like that. I like rooms that can cater to different levels and different group sizes.
Yeah, I think with us, they knew where we were coming from and just put us on hard mode right away.
Cool with me.
Moving on, we had to Brain Games' newest room called 20 Ghosts. Now, despite the name, 20 Ghosts is not a scary game. And because we played in December, we played the 20 Ghosts of Christmas, I believe it was called.
Something like that.
Okay. Story behind this game was essentially you're up in an attic of sorts, and there are 20 or so ghosts that have, I would describe it as unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And you get a little bit of backstory behind each, which ranges from weird to comical to slightly disturbing, and you have to help them finish it.
Yeah.
So, Tati, I played a game similar to this, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
I believe this was more of a fresher experience for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in this room there was a balance between actual puzzles and more so activities to have fun with your friends.
Yes.
So how did you feel about that? And how did you feel about the game overall?
So going into it, I thought that it was just going to be a bunch of puzzles that were accessible to you. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be a puzzle frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just going to be pure fun chaos the entire time.
Yeah.
But more to my personality, I guess, it was more like organized chaos. And it allowed me to see a little bit of everything, which I always enjoy. I, you know, we pay for this experience and we want to see the whole thing.
Right.
So there were a lot of times where you had to split up, but it wasn't too split up that we had no idea what the other group was doing. Like, we still had time. The pacing was good to talk about it and to figure things out. I could see how it kind of has spooky vibes, though, if it was not in the Christmas theme.
Yeah.
There were some components of it that were still a little creepy and eerie. And I can tell, like, if it's not Christmas, how I would probably be a little bit more spooked out. So I'm kind of glad that we played the Christmas version.
I'm sure you would have been fine. I do recommend this game. I think it has a lot to do. I was interested in how it was going to be executed because there was a similar version of this game at a different company. And that version was a little bit of a free-for-all. There were numerous puzzles, probably about 30 to 35. And the game was built to where you couldn't finish it. It was a point collecting game. And the intention was, at minimum, a double play where you keep your progress and you come back and finish it off. And it had enough to where you could actually play a second round and not feel shorted on your experience. So that was my main interest. The way it was conducted by Daniel and crew was, like you said, much more controlled, where there was a point in the game where I asked if we could do multiple, more than what we were doing at once. And the reason I did that was because I thought we were going to miss out on the entire game. I was essentially denied politely by the character in the room, and we were able to achieve everything that was intended for the game, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the details of, you're not from here, neither am I. And even if we could play again, it's a 2-hour or longer trip for you to get back out and play again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I think they did a really great job. And I don't know if you are going to have an episode on this for game mastering, but this is game mastering at its finest.
Yeah.
You cannot just sit and chill in this game. You have to pay attention because you have multiple groups doing different things. Some of the activities you have to pay attention to. You're watching your group perform certain aspects in order for them to move on. So I would love to hear what you have to say on a game mastering episode pertaining to something like this, because I give major props to Daniel for all of the charisma and the attention that goes into this, and to any other game master that runs that game specifically.
Yeah, super kudos to him. And to give you some insights into what Escape Break might evolve into, I've always had this idea that every Escape Break episode will become a conglomerate of our little mini episodes. So instead of a whole episode of Ultimate Game Master, every episode has a brief segment of Ultimate Game Master. So on this episode, a brief segment of Ultimate Game Master. And you're spot on, Tati. To be an Ultimate Game Master, you have to facilitate. And this room could go haywire to where a dominant person could take over and do all the puzzles, and someone's just kind of wandering into the abyss and doesn't have a good time. So half of your room enjoys it and the remaining half is like, this room sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the case. There was pure attention to our group, little nuances and commentary, especially during the activities that made it funny and personable. And that matters. There is a game where there's less puzzles and it's a lot of actor interaction and you just do a bunch of tasks, and I really don't like that because it wasn't well executed. This one I liked. We were acting, we were laughing, there was like slight jokes in taste and little commentary that let us know that our game master, whatever it was paying attention.
Yeah, and I loved it. I will also add, just as the room as a whole, the attention to detail in this room blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I know I wasn't the only one that felt that way. So when they put this room together, the little things that they thought of, whether it be story-wise or figurines in a certain area of the room, I was so impressed with the amount of effort that went into this room.
Yeah.
And that just shows care and love. And going from the lab, their first room, to 20 ghosts, I felt like it was a really, really big jump in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it made me so happy for them.
Of course. Absolutely. And from a sacrificial standpoint, Brain Games certainly sacrificed their efficiency by just making this room fun and having total disregard that the room is a hell of a reset.
Oh, yeah.
there are some things that happened in this game that all of us said, are you sure? This is going to be hard to reset. This is going to take a while to reset.
Yeah. And all of us have played a lot of rooms. So we were like, okay, maybe we'll just do the minimal amount. And to Daniel's credit, he said, keep on going.
Not good enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was 20 ghosts. Go play it. This is a establishment where all rooms are worth playing, in my opinion, of varying degrees. But as I said at the start of the Showstopper is a game I got to play prior to Tati, but Tati got to play this with Antho and Cynthia, who were kind enough to join us. It is Brain Games' Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to give you some context on how good this game is, I really like the game. It's probably in my top 20 of games. Debatable, I haven't really run the numbers yet since that time, but it's likable enough that the voters of Terpeka have allowed it to get into the finals, and it is a candidate for Enthusiast Choice Award. I don't really know what that means, but I think that means a lot of people nominated it enough to it's kind of on its category of its own. So, Tati, I'm going to let you take it away and describe the experience.
This room is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if people heard our interview with Ryan and Daniel when they were creating this room, but they took an idea that was originally at Countdown that turned into 60 Out that Brian had, and they brought it here. It was the Tiki Time room for those that did play it. And the first room that you walk into, it looks just like it. But I gotta say, what they did to this room puzzle-wise was so awesome. I was talking to Daniel afterwards and I was like, I love the improvement that you guys made from Tiki Time to Treasure Island.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks. Because I did get to play Tiki Time. It wasn't the same at all. There were some little homages I could see, but no, for the most part, it was completely different and in a good way.
Yeah.
I loved the progression. There was a lot of mixtures of puzzles, whether it was smarts or physical or just like funny little, again, attention to detail, like the little Easter eggs in the room made me so happy. But I gotta say, like, that ending was really cool.
You know, it's been so long that I don't fully remember the ending.
Okay.
We can talk about it after the show. What I do remember.
The room. The
ending room?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. So to be vague, to watch, make you play, this room, as it progresses, the scenery changes drastically. That is what I'll say. You're in a different area, a different scene throughout the adventure, and it gets cooler and cooler. Now, it is an island game. I don't think that's any spoiler there. There are some characters that are very likable, which I think add to the puzzles. And my favorite part involves some fish. And that's all I'll say.
That's a good one. Yeah, I really think I agree with you. I think that's the best room at Brain Games.
I'm glad you brought it up. We did have Daniel and Brian on the show. And while Brian was just partnered on for that experience only, they have big plans, Brain Games does, to continue the momentum. And a superhero room is allegedly on the way from our talks. And Daniel has ambitions to create some of the best rooms to ever exist. And in terms of just looking at laboratory all the way to Treasure Island, he's certainly on the right trajectory. And you can appreciate the hard work that he puts in because he has a bit of a mastermind that is in application right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too.
So excited for them.
We'll get there. I'm not locking you in, but maybe we'll play the next one together.
You can lock me in.
I'm locking her in. All right. Don't take that out of context. Here we go. So coming up on Escape Break, guys, we have our episode with Beth. I'll be talking with Beth about the rooms we played. We went to 60 out. We played a couple of rooms there. And earlier in the day, I actually got to play the infamous Escobar at the Escape Revolution. And I got to take one of my old basketball teammates who had never played an escape room before. So you can look forward to that. And then after that episode, the holiday fun is here.
Yay!
Those pesky elves are back to torment Tati and Beth. I'm currently talking to them about the adventure but together, but they've already agreed to record with me. So they'll be there and the chaos will be merry and bright.
Looking forward to it.
By the way, if you're interested in award shows, Terpeka just announced the awards for 2023. So you can check them out. Generally meld that with your list of to-dos and hopefully you get some good recommendations. And hopefully some of the rooms we recommended made it all the way, like South Cybernetics. We'll see you next time on Escape Break. Thanks for joining us on this wonderful episode.
Bye.
Hey, Kai, guess what?
No, don't say it. I need more time.
Break time is just about over.
But Tati, what if they want more?
They can tune into the next episode.
Next episode?
Of course. There's so many more escape adventures to share.
Well, what can they do between now and then?
They can like us on social media.
Share this episode?
Yes, absolutely.
And what if they are new to the show?
Then I think they should go back and listen to all the great episodes.
Awesome. And don't forget to send in your questions to us. And be sure to tune in soon for your next Escape Break.